Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over another story on CNBC about Russia turning off the taps to Germany as far as natural gas. Now, Russia is saying that they're doing this just for maintenance on the Nord Stream pipeline. Okay. Germany is concerned that after the two-week period of quote-unquote maintenance, that they just won't turn the taps back on. And if you're Russia, look, you got plenty of buyers for that natural gas, that's for sure. So maybe they will, maybe they won't. Or is this Putin or whomever in the Russian government trying to send a message to Germany saying, hey, look, why don't you just try going 2 weeks without our gas and see how that works out for you? And then we'll just reconvene here and... You can tell us if you want to continue to buy our gas or not. You can tell us if you want to agree to pay for the gas in rubles. Let's just see what happens after 2 weeks, and we'll go from there. I think this is what they probably are doing. But let's go over to this article. So Russia is set to switch off the gas for work on key pipeline. Germany faces fears the worst. The worst being that they won't turn it back on. Russia is poised to temporarily shut down European Union's single biggest piece of gas import infrastructure, stoking fears of a delayed or only partial return of gas supplies. And by the way, what was the genesis? What was the origin story of the Nord Stream pipeline? Well, this goes back to, what is the gentleman's name? He was chancellor, or whatever they call it in Germany, basically the president, and it was Gerhard Schroeder was his name. And I remember this because I outlined this in a whiteboard video. And his big push back in the early 2000s was to get off of nuclear energy. Nuclear, bad, 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 bad. But somehow, natural gas from Russia, good, 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 good. So in an effort to get basically to get off of nuclear energy, they set up this Nord Stream pipeline. And that's, you see the energy use or electricity use in Germany go from the majority of it nuclear down, or at least if you see a chart of nuclear and natural gas, nuclear goes down, natural gas goes up to a point where today they're as dependent on nat gas as they are nuclear, as they were nuclear energy back in 2000, 2001. But if you asked the German government, which would they prefer today? Be self-sufficient with nuclear energy or be completely dependent upon Putin, Russia for a dirtier energy source, and that is natural gas. You can see why my confidence in politicians is incredibly low. Some fear the Kremlin could use planned maintenance to turn off the taps for good. If it doesn't come back after maintenance, because Putin plays games. Yeah, is Putin playing games? Sure. But is the West not playing games? I mean, I think we're the ones that shut them out of SWIFT, right? We're the ones that froze their central bank's assets. So, I mean, is that not playing games? And you could say, well, we did that in response to what Putin was doing. Okay, fine, but we're all playing games here. I mean, it's not like, again, you can't say that one group is just sitting back and taking the punches and the other group is just, you know, punch, 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 punch. They're counter punches going back and forth. So they go on to say that Putin plays games or wants it to hit Europe while it hurts. Then the plan to fill up gas storage by end of summer probably won't work. Russia is poised, okay, basically reiterating what we were saying. So first thing I highlighted, it comes as European governments scramble to fill underground storage with nat gas supplies in an effort to provide households with enough fuel to keep the lights on, homes during and warm during the winter. So they're trying to stockpile, really. And so if Russia turns off the taps, they're not going to be able to stockpile. And although that may be bearable in the summer months, it's going to, for some people, mean the difference potentially between life and death in the winter. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. And keep in mind, it's when you think about natural gas, it's most people just go straight to, well, you're heating a house. But it's not just that. It goes into so many materials that are used and for inputs for a lot of these German corporations. So if they don't have the natural gas, it's just like us not having the semiconductors for a Ford pickup truck. Well, they're just not going to get made. If they're not going to get made, they're not going to get sold. And you know, how does that play out in the German economy? What are the systemic knock-on effects throughout, you know, when you talk about the unemployment rate, when you talk about aggregate demand, when you talk about, you know, them easily, when you think about this easily throwing them into a recession, if not an economic depression. And when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about lack of access to the energy, natural gas they need. The EU, which receives roughly 40% of its gas from Russian pipelines, is trying to rapidly reduce its reliance on Russian hydrocarbons in response to President Putin's months-long onslaught in Ukraine. But again, this is, I get it that you had to push back, or the argument is that you have to push back against Putin, but okay, push back in a way that isn't going to hurt you more than it hurts him or Russia. Right. So these sanctions, I mean, this article makes it seem as though we didn't do anything and Putin just decided to, you know, cut off the gas supplies and he's being a bad guy. Is he being a bad guy? Yes. But let's remember that we shut him out of the dollar system. And if it wasn't for us implementing these sanctions, and if it wasn't for the West freezing the assets of the Russian central bank and cutting them out, or trying to cut them out of the global dollar system, they'd have plenty of gas. This would not be an issue for them whatsoever. And you say, well, we had to push back. We had to do something. Okay, fine. But what you did hurts you more than it hurts Russia. It hurts you more than it hurts the enemy. That's the bottom line. So this is the head of Germany's energy regulator. We cannot rule out the possibility that gas transport will not be resumed after, for political reasons. But again, yes, it is political reasons, but hey, it's because you sanctioned Russia and they don't. I mean, look, for them to sell or nat gas or oil, they're taking a risk that they're not going to get paid. They're not going to get paid dollars, so they got to ask for rubles. I mean, this is a back and forth. So I get it that he invaded Ukraine, but as far as this back and forth, and as far as the energy problem that we're seeing, natural gas problem that we're seeing in Germany and more broadly in Europe right now, it is because of the sanctions that we imposed on Russia, period, end of story. If the sanctions weren't there, you wouldn't have to worry about natural gas. So I find it interesting here that this is a quote from Henning Gloystein, Director of Energy, Climate, and Resources at Eurasia Group. So she's just reiterating that Putin's playing games or trying to fill up the storage, but if the taps go dry, then that probably won't work. Okay, so I thought that the climate people were trying to reduce the use of fossil fuels. So why are they wanting to, why are they opposing this? Why are they worried that Putin doesn't give them fossil fuels? If Putin doesn't give them any fossil fuel, then they're not going to consume any fossil fuel. And that's fantastic for the climate, right? Of course, I'm being facetious there. And my point is, when push comes to shove, this proves that you've got to prioritize life right now. You've got to prioritize what will happen right now versus what potentially could happen 40, 50 years down the line. And politicians, I don't care how green they say they are, they're going to revert back to doing whatever is most politically expedient in the short term. And it also proves how hypocritical they are. One key concern for EU policymakers and energy sector more broadly is that they have virtually no idea as to what will happen, because most communications with Gazprom broken down. They had previously been relatively open until May. And again, whose fault is that, right? If we didn't issue all of these sanctions, and again, if this had an impact on Russia that was greater than the impact on Europe, or if it even had any impact on Russia, I would kind of get it. But the only negative impact that it's having is on the European people. So the Kremlin spokesperson, Dmitry Peskov, has previously claimed Russia stands ready to supply gas to Europe, describing the situation as a man-made crisis created by Europe. Again, I'm no big fan of any government. I think they're all horrible, but tough not to agree with that. So the German economy minister, Robert Habeck, has rejected this claim, saying Russia's supply curbs are a political decision designed to unsettle the region and ramp up gas prices. But again, if you were selling your gas, would you sell it to a group of people that might not pay you? Or would you sell it to a group of people that may pay you, but then would just freeze your bank account so you couldn't access the money? Probably not. All right, so the main point that I wanted to make there is, I think Germany, yeah, go woke, go broke. Exactly. I mean, I saw that in the comments, and it's just virtue signaling by the politicians, and they pushed it too far. Now they're paying the price, and of course the politicians won't pay. They can heat their home. It's just the poor and middle class of Europe. They're the ones that are going to pay the price for the virtue signaling. And why is it virtue signaling? Because again, these policies towards Russia don't really impact Russia at all. It's just basically punching yourself in the face when you're in a fight with Mike Tyson. So main point here is that if they turn off the taps, they could, I think they're probably doing it to send a message. Sure, maybe there's some maintenance issues, but I think more so they're telling Germany to, hey, why don't you try 2 weeks without this stuff? See how you like it. Let's reconvene after that and then determine how we want to move forward. And then you'll notice how much leverage we have in this discussion. And then I think it's important to see what happens in 2 weeks. If they turn it back on, or if they turn it off, then assuming they turn it off, if that's the path they take, you need to look for a massive recession, if not depression, in the German economy. And then ask yourself, what are the domino effects throughout not only Europe, but potentially the global economy? All right, guys, as always, make sure that you stand up for liberty, freedom, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.